السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخانا، أحسن الله إليكم. نعم يا شيخانا.
Sorry that I was late. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، بإذن الله، in continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are still on the discussions about our slaves, our servants, and our subordinates. Like I said, there are a number of hadith regarding these issues in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. And perhaps one of the reasons Al-Imam Al-Bukhari had repeated these hadith, mentioned them in various forms, and also included statements from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and was a bit exhaustive in the mentioning, was because many of the people may, because of, yes, I have a slave, I have a subordinate, and then they become lax about the rights of those people. Because we say, oh, I have a slave, I have a servant, I have a subordinate, he's my driver, he's my cook, she's my nanny, and all of these. This thinking may make us become lax, may become, make us be relaxed regarding these people who have very strong rights over their superiors, over their bosses. So it's like when we read more of it, then we'll be able to understand how important the matter is, despite the fact that it's an area that we may become oblivious of, and it's so dangerous to be oblivious of these kinds of matters. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has mentioned these matters regarding our slaves, our servants, and our subordinates with some extension, rahimahullah. Today, bismillah, our reading will be about the rewards of providing the needs of the slave. We had talked about providing the needs of the slave, helping the slave, not abusing the slave, being easy with the slave, and not being burdensome with the jobs that we give them. And that's when we even give them jobs that may overburden them, we should see to how these jobs are executed and not just leave them to it, and so on and so forth. Today, bismillah, we like to read the narrations regarding the gains. What are the profits? What are the virtues of spending and being kind to the slave or the servant or our subordinates? Those that are under our control, who serve us, some provide our needs and run our errands. If we are kind and nice to them, apart from the fact that it will be a means of protection from the fire for us, may Allah protect us all from the fire, what other things do we stand to gain when we fulfill the rights of these people? Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed these hadiths under the chapter heading Babun Nafaqatu Rajuli Ala Abdihi Wa Khadimihi Sadaqatun. Nafaqatu Rajuli Ala Abdihi Wa Khadimihi Sadaqah. A man's spending to maintain his abd, his slave, Wa Khadimihi, or his servant, Sadaqah. It is a means of Sadaqah, the means of earning these rewards. Nafaqatu rajuli ala abdihi wa khadimihi sadaqa. When you spend on your slave, nafaqatu rajul, a man's maintaining ala rajulihi, or a man's falling upon his slave wakhadimihi and his servants. Sadaqa is a major means of earning great rewards, as we shall come to understand. Sadaqa here means that it's a means of earning huge rewards. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has placed narrations in hadith number 195. He said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ibrahim ibn Musa, qala akhbarana baqiyya, qala akhbarani Bahir ibn Sa'd, an Khalid ibn Ma'dan, an al-Miqdam, sami'a an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul, ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة وما أطعمت ولدك وزوجتك وخادمك فهو صدقة ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة وما أطعمت ولدك وزوجتك وخادمك فهو صدقة. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported this hadith from one of his biggest teachers, Ibrahim ibn Musa. Ibrahim ibn Musa is Ibn Yazid al-Tamimi Abu Ishaq. Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Musa ibn Yazid al-Tamimi Abu Ishaq. The scholars say he is Ahadu Bukhuri al-Hadith. Abu Ishaq al-Tamimi, Ahadu Bukhuri al-Hadith. He is one of the major scholars and reporters and teachers of Hadith, rahimahullah. And the A'imma, rahimahumullah, they used to praise him. The likes of Imam Abu Zur'at al-Razi would even prefer Ibrahim ibn Musa over Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shaybah. We know Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. These days, our brothers have WhatsApp post translations, and we read those narrations from Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba was from among the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. But Al-Imam Abu Zur'a Ubaydullah ibn al-Karim al-Razi, he used to prefer and say that Ibrahim ibn Musa was such more knowledgeable than Ibn Abi Shayba. He was a great scholar of hadith. He used to be referred to as Al-Farra'u al-Sadir. Al-Farra'u was one of the scholars of Lugha also. So Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Musa used to be referred to as Al-Farra'u al-Sadir. And Al-Imam Ahmad, that is a young, the young Al-Farra'u. Like we had Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, he used to be referred to as Malik al-Sagir, the younger Malik. And Al-Imam Ibn Attar, he used to be referred to as Al-Nawawi al-Sagir. Ibn Attar was a student of Al-Imam al-Nawawi. He used to be referred to as Al-Nawawi al-Sagir, the younger Al-Nawawi. The scholars have this approach. If a scholar had the lifestyle and the kind of knowledge of a bigger scholar, they attended al-Saghir. When Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal heard that Ibrahim ibn Musa used to be referred to as al-Farra'u al-Saghir, he rejected it, rahimahullah. فَكَانَ أَحْمَدُ يُنْكِرُ عَلَى مَنْ يَكُولُ لَهُ al-Saghir. Al-Imam Ahmad used to reject that people referred to Musa, Ibrahim ibn Musa as what? Al-Saghir, and then he will say, huwa kabirun fil ilm. In terms of knowledge, he is kabir. Don't say Ibrahim ibn Musa al-Farra'u al-Saghir. He did not like that he was referred to as al-Saghir. Why? Because huwa kabirun fil ilm wal jalalah. Because al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Musa was very, very eminent in his knowledge. And he was a person of esteem, ذو رحلة واسعة. He was an individual who traveled to various parts of the Muslim world to acquire knowledge. So Al-Imam Ahmad used to reject that Ibrahim ibn Musa was referred to as Al-Farra'u al-Saghir, rahimahullah. Today, many of us have young brothers, young people we know on our area. and we look down upon them. I think that's the lesson in that rejection of Al-Imam Ahmad, that the fact that Ibrahim ibn Musa was referred to as Al-Qarra'u Al-Sadir, it may make some of the people begin to look down upon him. So this is one of the ways that Imam Ahmad also did the same thing regarding Abu Zura Al-Razi, when someone referred to him as a sharp, one young boy. He said, A'udhu billahi mimman zalama Abu Zura. I seek refuge from the one who is unjust and unfair to Abu Zura. The scholars did not like that, even though a person had a young age, you look down upon him if he was a knowledgeable person. You respect him for his knowledge. So when you respect him for his knowledge, it's from the aspects of respect for knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger. Also, if he's a person that is mustaqim, that is steadfast upon the path of learning and teaching and following knowledge itself. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he took the hadith from Ibrahim ibn Musa, and he took it from Baqiyya. Baqiyya is Baqiyya ibn al-Walid. He's from amongst the big scholars of hadith too. Even though he was known with what the scholars of hadith refer to as what? At-Tadlis. So he was reporting from Bahir ibn Sa'd. And Bahir ibn Sa'd was reporting from Khalid ibn Ma'dan and al-Miqdam. Miqdam is the eminent companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Ma'di Karib. Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karib. He was the one who heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam saying that ma at'amta nafsaka fahuwa sadaqa. Ma at'amta nafsaka fahuwa sadaqa. Ma at'amta nafsaka. Whatever you provide yourself as food, ma at'amta nafsaka. Whatever you feed yourself with, if you feed yourself with something, fahuwa sadaqa. The food you give yourself, when you feed yourself, when you get meal and you eat food, you provide food and eat for yourself, fahuwa sadaqa. It is sadaqa for you. It is a thing of great reward for you. You will be rewarded for eating food. Look at this thing. You eat food. You provide food for yourself to eat. Fahuwa sadaqa. You give yourself food. Because Allah wants you to be honorable and nice to yourself. Allah wants you to be nice and honorable to yourself. So when you provide food for yourself, it is sadaqa. It is sawabun jazilun. It is a major, huge reward for you. When you provide food for yourself, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَهُوَ صَدَقَ مَا أَطْعَمْتَ نَفْسَكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَ. What you provide yourself from food, from drink, from vegetables, what you eat to keep yourself safe, to keep yourself neat, good, it is sadaqa. We'll find shawahid, we'll find supporting evidence for this statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Allah says, فَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا. Eat, washrabu, and drink, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and don't go in excess. Don't make israf of food and israf of drinking. Al-Imam Daruqutni rahimahullah, when he explained, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, he said, لَا تُسْرِفُوا means that don't eat or drink something that is not beneficial to your body. So when you eat, you are obeying the commandment of Allah and you'll be rewarded for that. So it means you have to eat halal and something that is nutritious. When you eat haram, it is prohibited for you. It's an act of sin. Then when you eat something deliberately that you know is not nutritious, you have not also fulfilled that part of the verse that says, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and don't make israf. Al-Imam Daruqutni rahimahullah, he says, everything you eat that's not beneficial to the body, you know that it's not beneficial to the body, yet you still consume it. It is from the aspects of what? Israf. It is from the aspect of being excessive, going overboard regarding what you eat. So don't forget this fact. Ma at'amta nafsaka fahuwa sadaqa. What you eat yourself as an individual is sadaqa. So as you will do sadaqa to others, we'll come back to that business. And you like to do from the best of sadaqa, like Allah said in the Quran, wa ahsinu, be nice to others. When you give sadaqa, you want to give a nice sadaqa. Don't forget, when you eat food as an individual, you get food for yourself to eat. Eat what is good. You fulfill that verse in the Quran, and then you'll be fulfilling the aspects of giving sadaqa in a nice manner. Give yourself good food means that provide good sadaqa for yourself. Some of the people think that when you eat good food, and we had mentioned that good food is the one that is beneficial to the body. When it is not beneficial to the body, it is from the aspects of what is rough. So when you take a lot of ice creams, too much, you know what that means. When you take a lot of sugar, too much, you know what that means. And many other things that we eat, we know that are not of much benefit or practically no benefit to the body. It is from the aspects of israf. This does not come under this sadaqah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma at'amta nafsak fa huwa sadaqah. What you provide yourself from food is sadaqah. Wa ma at'amta waladaka wa zawjataka wa qadimaka fa huwa sadaqah. Wa ma at'amta waladak. Likewise, ma at'amta waladak. What you provide your children. You see, walad, it is mufrad. You see, zawjat, it is mufrad. You see, khadim, it is also mufrad. Mufrad means singular. But it occurs in a conjunction, it is mudaf. So waladuka means all your children, if you have more than one. Zawjatuka means all your wives, if you have more than one. Khadimuka means all your khadama, all your servants, if you have more than one. I'm saying this so that no one thinks that only one walad is mentioned. Waladuka means awladuka. Zawjatuka means zawjatuka. Khadimuka means khadamuka. What you provide all these sets of people, your children, wa zawjatuka, and your wives, wa khadimuka. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ma at'amta waladak wa zawjatak wa khadimak fa huwa sadaqa. What you provide your children to eat, wa zawjatak, what you provide your wives to eat, wa khadimak, what you provide your slaves, your servants, your subordinates, those under your control. And when we explained yesterday, we say when people work for us and you pay them salaries, they are in the meaning of providing them clothes and food over the service they provide for you. So when you give them the good salary, that is also from the aspects of sadaqah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma at'amta waladak wa zawjatak yarhamukallah wa khadimak fa huwa sadaqah. What you provide your family, your children, your wives, your servants, for who are sadaqah, that is from the aspects of sadaqah. But the ulama say there's a condition connected to that, apart from the fact that the food itself should be lawful, apart from the fact that the means of obtaining the food itself must be lawful, apart from this basic fact. If we provide these things, if you eat, it will not be sadaqah for you unless you have an intention for that. You must have al-ihtisab. You must be hoping and anticipating the rewards that Allah will give you when you eat food for yourself. Like having it in mind that this food that I eat, oh Allah, reward me for feeding myself. Reward me for providing my body food that it needs. Reward me for providing my body nutrition, the nutrients that it requires to live a healthy life. And that's because Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam that he said alayhi salatu wa salam, إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَسِبُهَا كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. This hadith tells us when it becomes a sadaqah. إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. If the Muslim spends for maintenance ala ahlihi upon his ahl, and he is the first person in his ahl. The first person in a household is the leader of the household itself. So you are the first person in your ahl. If you spend upon your ahl, you spend upon yourself, you spend upon your children, you spend upon your wives, you spend upon your servants and the rest of your subordinates. كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةً. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be recorded as from the aspects of sadaqah. The ulama say it will be recorded as from the aspects of obligatory sadaqah, because the reward for fulfilling an obligation is greater than the reward for fulfilling a nafi. The reward for fulfilling a fard, a wajib, an obligation, is bigger than the rewards of fulfilling a nafi. The rewards of observing Salatul Fajr is bigger than the rewards of Raka'atayl Fajr. When the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that Raka'atayl Fajr khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Raka'atayl Fajr, that is, of course, properly observed, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا, is better than the entirety of this dunya. It's better than you owning the entirety of Victoria Island, Ikoyi, Lekki, Asokoro, Naitama, all of them put together. And then the best places in London, the best places in the US, the best places in Saudi Arabia, the best places in the UAE, in all exotic places you can think, the entirety of this dunya. 2 units of nafila, rak'at al-fajri, they are more rewarding, they are better in the sight of Allah than the entirety of this dunya and what it contains. How about Salatul Fajr? How about Salatul Fajr? So likewise, this sadaqah for yourself, the sadaqah for your children, the sadaqah for your slaves and servants that are under you, that are under your control, what you gain as rewards for fulfilling this basic nafaqah, this basic maintenance of these people, is great, far greater than any other sadaqah you do outside that will just be a nafid. But those ones you do in the home, there is a condition connected to it, and was why we read the hadith of Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. What is that? وَهُوَ يَحْتَصِبُهَا. When you feed your children, make ihtisab, anticipate rewards for it. When you feed your wives, anticipate rewards for it. When you feed your servants and your slaves, your subordinates, your nannies, your cooks, and all of these, those who run your errands, anticipate rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you fulfilling an obligation. The ulama say if the individual does not anticipate rewards, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the meaning of that report, disconnects rewards for that. It will not be counted as sadaqah, as major rewards for you, if you don't anticipate the rewards. So I think it's a major thing to call our attention to. Don't be a man who bangs the money on the table for your wives. I am feeding you. You bang the money on the table. You throw the money at her. You give her the money while hating to give the money. You will not gain the rewards. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, إِذَا أَنْفَقَ الْمُسْلِمُ نَفَقَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَهُوَ يَحْتَصِبُهَا. When an individual spends upon his family, when he do that, when as he does that, يَحْتَصِبُهَا, he anticipates the rewards for doing that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. That nafaqa that he had given, that maintenance for his wives, for his children, for his slaves, for his servants that he had given, كَانَتْ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ, to be recorded as huge rewards for him, for the one who has fulfilled the major aspects of a nafaqa upon dependents. This makes us understand, don't forget, O husband, when you provide yourself food, it is sadaqa. When you provide food for your wife, it is sadaqa. When you provide food for your children, when you provide maintenance for your children, it is from the aspects of sadaqa. Do it with happiness. Do it while anticipating rewards, not while you hate to do it. Because hating to do a thing, even when you do it, deprives you of your reward. If a woman wears hijab, but she hates to wear hijab, she does not get the reward. If a person observes the salah, but hates to observe salah, he does not get the reward. You should like to have it because you have the reward for it. I say this a lot. We had a class last week in a masjid. So some of the people were going out. So I was saying to them, if it were said that immediately after this salah, we will be distributing $100 bills. $100 is more than 50,000 naira. Bismillah, after Salatul Maghrib, we'll be distributing $100 bills for every person who had observed this salah in this masjid. And we delay in doing that up to 9 p.m. from after Salatul Maghrib. I was asking the brothers, the people in the masjid, would anyone go out of the masjid? $100. $100, 50,000 naira, for example, you want to distribute it. You say to them before Salatul Maghrib, Bismillah after Salatul Maghrib, because after Isha is still after Salatul Maghrib. You say to them, Inshallah, after Salatul Maghrib, I will distribute $100 for every person who was or who observed Salah in this masjid. I am sure immediately after Maghrib, some people who heard it outside will come into the masjid. And nobody will leave that masjid until after Salatul Isha. Not just until after Isha. Up to 9 p.m. people will still be waiting. Ah, we have something after Maghrib too. They will be the ones who will interpret it and say, ah, even 10 p.m. too is after Maghrib. By way of appeasing themselves so that they can wait to obtain $100 bills. So if we are told that Rakat al-Fajri Khairun is better, not it is like it, is better than it. The entirety of this dunya, observe two rakats of rak'at al-fajr and gain the entirety of this dunya. I am sure people will observe rak'at al-fajr for 2 hours, even though that is not the sunnah. The sunnah with rak'at al-fajr is that it should be observed quickly. It should be observed quickly. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to observe it so quickly that you would even think, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he had not read more than Surah al-Fatiha. As our mother Aisha said, radiallahu anha. But because the mind is connected to, hey man, if I finish Rakat al-Fajri, I am going to become the owner of the entirety of VGC, the owner of the entirety of Lekki, man, I will be calm. In fact, if you want me to recite Surah al-Baqarah in Rakat al-Fajri, I will read it. This love and connection we have for these things. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, these two units of prayers are better than all of these things we are doing. Likewise, these issues, when we say words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our mind should go beyond the kinds of things we are thinking about. These are huge rewards. So pay attention to your mind so that you do not lose these great rewards of al-nafaqatu al-riyal, spending upon your home, spending upon your household. When you do that, make ihtisab, hope and anticipate in the rewards for it. There are many things, many acts of worship that we observe. We don't anticipate the rewards And by that, we lose the rewards. Ulama said it. We lose rewards. And that's why in hadith of fasting too, the Prophet says in hadith of Abu Huraira, it's a cause in Sahih Muslim of Al-Imam Muslim. Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban. Man qama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban. If he makes Qiyam or Ramadan while not anticipating rewards for Qiyam or Ramadan. If he fasts Ramadan while not anticipating rewards for fasting Ramadan. He will not gain the rewards of good deeds. The same thing applies when you spend, you make nafaka upon your family. Hope in the rewards will be itself a big motivation for you to do these good deeds very well. You will not do it out of hatred, out of laziness, out of let me just do it. You will do it in the hope that Allah will reward me for these good deeds. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, ما أطعمت نفسك فهو صدقة. What you feed yourself with is sadaqa. So, O head of household, Abu, when you eat next time, this breakfast you take after this class, have it in mind that it is sadaqa. Hope to gain rewards for eating, for providing yourself food. وما أطعمت ولدك وزوجتك وخادمك فهو صدقة. Likewise, when your children take the breakfast this morning, when your wives take the breakfast this morning, when your servants and your subordinates take their breakfast this morning, have it in mind that you are making sadaqah and you hope in the rewards of that sadaqah from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can go back and ask, what is the major purpose for reciting, for reading this hadith this morning? It is to prove that when we take care of our servants, it is sadaqah for us. It is a means for big rewards for us. When we take care of our servants, it is a means of big, huge rewards for us. And it is from the aspects of obligatory sadaqah. We come back to hadith number 196. I think 195 is clear to us, bismillah. The point of reference in the first hadith we read is that النَّفَقَةُ مَا أَطْعَمْتَ نَفْسَكَ فَهُوَ صَدَقَ وَمَا أَطْعَمْتَ خَادِمَكَ. What you feed your servants with, what you provide your servants as nafaka, maintenance. Their maintenance involves their food, their drink, their accommodation, their transport if they need it. And all of this, it is from the aspects of a sadaqah. When you pay salaries to your employees, don't forget, oh employer, keep it in mind that it is from the aspects of a obligatory sadaqah, because they are due for it. So when they are due for it, you get good rewards when you offset the rights of the people over you. So it is from the aspects of sadaqah. In 196, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he said, حدثنا مسدد قال حدثنا حماد بن زيد عن عاصم بن بهدلة عن أبي صالح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وابدع بمن تعول تقول امرأتك أنفق علي أو طلقني ويقول مملوكك أنفق علي أو بعني ويقول ولدك إلى من تكلنا. الإمام البخاري reported this from his Sheikh Musaddad, that is الإمام Musaddad ibn Mustarhadin رحمه الله وعوده major teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. We had read a number of his hadith in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. He is a quoting from another major scholar and person of Sunnah in the Ummah, Hammad ibn Zayd, rahimahullah. And Hammad ibn Zayd is reporting from another major personality in this Ummah, Asim ibn Bahdala. Al-Imam Asim ibn Bahdala, we all read the Quran today. The large majority of the world, more than 90% of the Muslims of the world, read the Quran upon the recitation of Asim ibn Bahdala. I am sure we are aware that as ahadith are reported from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that the companions heard it from him, wrote it down, memorized it, practiced it, and transmitted it to the second generation after them. That was the same way that the companions listened to the Quran, read the Quran exactly from the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they conveyed the reading itself to the subsequent generation. Asim ibn Bahdala, his recitation is what is largely read. We say we read the Quran upon the riwayah or kiraha of Hafs and Asim. Hafs is Hafs ibn Sulaiman, the student of Asim. Asim is Asim ibn Bahdala. It is his hadith we are reading today. Asim ibn Bahdala. Bahdala is the name of his father. Asim al-Sahih. Some of the scholars say Bahdala is the name of his mother. But what is correct, Al-Imam al-Zahabi and many others amongst the scholars of Sunnah, including Al-Imam al-Bukhari, they affirm that Bahdala is the name of his father. And Abu Najud is his kunya. So he's also referred to as Asim ibn Abi Najud. He's a scholar of Qira'ah. He learns the Quran directly from two sources. The first source was from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami was a tabi'i. He learns the Quran directly from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And Ali ibn Abi Talib took the Quran from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So between Asim ibn Bahdala, whose hadith we read today, this Imam, Asim ibn Bahdala, or Asim ibn Abi Najud, Abu Najud is his father, Bahdala. This Asim, between himself and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are two persons. The first one from the root of Ali ibn Abi Talib was his Shaykh Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, and then who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. He learned reading, the recitation, Qira'atul Quran from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. And Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami took Qira'atul Quran from who? From Ali ibn Abi Talib, who learned the Quran in the reading of the Quran. The reading, how you read. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This reading of the Quran. That was how Asim took it from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, who took it from who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is his first root and the most popular root from him with which he taught the rest of the Ummah Quran. He was a great scholar of Quran reciter in Kufa and in many other parts of the world. But it came and spread to the rest of the world from Kufa. His second isnad with the Quran is his isnad with Zirr ibn Hubaysh. Zirr ibn Hubaysh was a student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We had read his narration to us. But Zirr ibn Hubaysh was a very beautiful person who had very sonorous voice from amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Zirr ibn Hubaysh learns the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud learns the Quran from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remember the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in Sahih al-Muslim, when he said, I took more than 79 surahs of the Quran from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will read it to me word by word. And I would ask him word for word, what does this mean? What does this mean? What are the rulings in it? What are the rulings in it? If I knew anybody who knew the Quran better than I do, I would go to look for him. And then the Prophet told us in many reports, man sarrahu an yaqra al-Qur'an, whoever is pleased, whoever will be pleased to read the Qur'an in a nice, sweet way as it was revealed. فَلْيَقْرَعَ بِكِرَاءَةِ إِبْنِ أُمِّ عَبْدِ, let that person read the Qur'an in the way that Ibn Ummi Abd would read the Qur'an. This hadith was reported by Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. This hadith was reported by Umar ibn al-Khattab. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that statement, it was in the presence of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar. So Umar was racing to tell Ibn Mas'ud what he had heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about him. When he got there, he found out that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had already gotten there to inform Abdullah ibn Mas'ud about how well the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his qira'ah. So Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu took the Quran freshly from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and he taught Zirru ibn Hubaysh. And Zirru ibn Hubaysh taught who? Asim ibn Bahdala. So Asim ibn Bahdala, from two angles, he had two persons between himself and the Prophet, as far as the reading of the Quran was concerned. He was an Imam, rahimahullah, Asim ibn Bahdala. We all read his recitation today. He gains from our reading of the Quran. He transmitted reading of the Quran, Qira'atul Quran to us. He taught the Quran. He learned the Quran and taught the Quran. Wa khayrukum, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana. He learned the Quran from one root, from Zirru ibn Hubaysh, who took it from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, from the second root, from Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, from Ali ibn Abi Talib, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But he was not just a reader of the Quran. Asim ibn Bahdala ibn Abi Najud, the ulama say, kana za adabin, he was a person of adab, he was a person full of manners, wa nusukin, he was also a person full of worship, wa fasahatin, he was very, very eloquent, wa sawtin hasanin, and he was a person who had very, very sonorous voice, radiyallahu anhu. From his worship was that, kana asimu iza salla, يَنْتَصِبُ كَأَنَّهُ عُوجٌ كَانَ عَاصِمٌ إِذَا صَلَّى يَنْتَصِبُ كَأَنَّهُ عُوجٌ. عاصم ابن بهدلة, this great imam of قراءة القرآن, إذا صلى, when he observes صلاة, يَنْتَصِبُ كَأَنَّهُ عُوجٌ, he stands firm, straight. You would think that he is a wood. A wood standing, he will not be moving, shaking, turning his head, looking left, looking right, scratching the body, scratching the head. He's firm, calm in his standing. Like the Quran says, وَقُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ. We could go on and on about the Imam Asim ibn Bahdala, who was a major transmitter of the Quran. The Quran we all read today, as we read it, is from the Qira'a of Asim ibn Bahdala, that he taught his students, Hafs ibn Sulaiman, rahimahum Allahu. I thought it is necessary we pay attention to this Imam, Asim ibn Bahdala. If you observe your Fajr today, your Imam read with the Qira of Asim ibn Bahdala. 90% of the world, or more than that, today we read with the Qira of Asim ibn Bahdala. Hafs and Asim, Hafs, his student, took it from him. It was from him that he became spread. Asim ibn Bahdala, rahimahullah, or Asim ibn Abi Najud, Abu Bakrin al-Kufi. His kunya was Abu Bakrin. He's the one reporting from the student of Abu Huraira. You see Asim ibn Bahdala, you always have just one person between him and the companions, radiallahu anhum. Some of the scholars mentioned that he's from amongst the Sigar al-Tabi'i. He mentioned a number of companions that he met. But as far as Qira'atul Quran was concerned, he took it from the biggest ones amongst the Tabi'un, the likes of Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, and the likes of who? زر بن حبيش رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. So he took this hadith from Abu Salih, the student of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, خير الصدقة خير الصدقة. The Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا, خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا. The best of sadaqah, the most rewarding of sadaqah. I don't want to say charity, because charity in English language means something you do out of volition, something you just do it. But sadaqah here means something that is compulsory. The best of the obligatory charity, I think that we'll take it now. خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا. The best of sadaqah, generally speaking, is ما بقى جنا, is that which leaves behind some sufficiency when you make sadaqah, and that sadaqah leaves you with some sufficiency. You still have something to suffice yourself with. ما بقى جنا. Something is still with you after you make sadaqah. When you spend upon your wives, your children, you still have some things. You still have something to keep, to suffice yourself with. When you make sadaqah, you still have something. Even when you make recommended supererogatory sadaqah, the best of them is the ones that still keeps you with something. You still have something with you. خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا. خير الصدقة ما بقى جنا. The best of sadaqah is that which leaves behind some sufficiency. The ulama says sufficiency and gina comes from two angles. The first one is gina nafs, the sufficiency of the mind to be self contented. You are pleased in your mind with what you have, with the little that you have with you. The other is that the contentment, the sufficiency should be physical. You spend, when you give sadaqah, you give and then your mind goes off what you have given. Then you have some self-sufficiency. Inside your mind, all that you have sufficiency in terms of the physical wealth that remains with you. I hope that this point is clear. Sufficiency are of two forms. You know, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam told us that al-gina, gina nafs, the actual sufficiency is the one you have in your mind, contentment. So when you give sadaqah, the best of sadaqah you give is the one that leaves you, you are contented. You have contentment, then you have some money with you. You have some money with you and you are contented with the little that you have. It does not mean that you give sadaqah and you are still remaining billions with you. No, you give sadaqah and what you have remained with you, you are still sufficient with it. That was why the likes of Abu Bakr and Siddiq, radiallahu anhum, when they gave what they gave, they were still contented with what they had. It wasn't as if they did not like what they gave. They were contented. If you are a person who is contented with whatever is left with you, then you can give as much as you give. You can give as much. Then you have contentment. Whatever I have, inshallah, I'm pleased with it. It will not make you become to beg the people because you have self-contentment. It will not make you become to depend on the people because you have self-contentment. So give. When you give, look behind. Will I be contented with what is left? Physically and in terms of my mind. But don't forget, it does not have to do with physically, because some of the people have avarice and stinginess to the extent that if they give 1 naira from 1 million, they still will not be comfortable. They still don't have contentment. If they give 1 naira from 1 million, 1 naira from 1 million, they still do not have contentment. That was why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that al-gina, gina nafs, the actual richness, the richness of the mind. You are contented with what you have. So if you have 1 million and you give 100,000, it does not mean that the 900 and whatever that is left with you is not sufficient for you. So this hadith does not necessarily mean don't give much. It actually means give as much as what will remain for you will suffice. You will find sufficiency and contentment with whatever is left for you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal yadu, and the hand al-ulya, that is above, khayrun min al-yadi sufla, is better than the hand that is below. The hand that is above is better than the hand that is below. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wal yadu al-ulya, the hand that is above. Some of the people translate that as the giving hand. The hand that is giving. The hand that is giving. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported a hadith that occurs in Sahih Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-yadu al-ulya hiya al-munfiqatu. Al-yadu al-ulya, the hand that is above. Hiya al-munfiqa, that is that hand that is giving. وَالْيَدُ السُّفْلَى أَوْ وَالسُّفْلَى هِيَ السَّائِلَى, the one that is below, that is receiving it, is this the asking hand. It says, وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَى, the hand that is above, خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدُ السُّفْلَى, is better than the hand that is below. But the hand that is above, هِيَ الْمُنْفِقَى, the Prophet said, in another hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, the one that is ulya, that is above, hiya al-munfiqa, that is the hand that is giving. And then he says, wasufla, the one that is below, hiya sa'ila, that is the hand that is asking. Ulama say, there is difference between the receiving hand that did not ask and the asking hand. That it is the asking hand that is below, not the hand that receives when he does not ask. The man did not ask, yet he's receiving. Literally, the hand will be below, but that is not the hand in reference. The hand in reference that is below is the hand that is asking. The hand that is below is the hand that is asking. So what is the connection between the first phrase and the second phrase? The connection between the first phrase, that the best of sadaqah is the one that leaves behind sufficient. And then it says the hand that is above is better than the hand that is below. That is, don't give out sadaqah so much that you have to go back to start asking the people. Don't give sadaqah so much so that you have to go back to start asking, to start begging the people, please, can you provide me? Please, can. Don't give sadaqah so much that you have to become the asking hand. If a hand is not asking and it is provided some sadaqah, the ulama say it does not fall in this category. It is not yad al-yadu sufla. It is not yadun sufla. The hand that did not ask but was provided and it is receiving, it is not yadu sufla. The yadu sufla, the hand that is on the ground, the one, the hand that is below, the hand that is down, is the hand that is asking. So don't give sadaqah and then you become to be asking from the people what you need for sustenance. So the Prophet said, I hope that these expressions are clear and the connections between them are clear, inshallah. Khayru sadaqati ma baqa ghina. The best of sadaqah is the one that leaves behind something sufficient. وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى, and the giving hand is better than the asking hand. وَابْدَعْ بِمَنْ تَعُولِ, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ابْدَعْ بِمَنْ تَعُولِ, when you give sadaqah, start with مَنْ تَعُولِ, those that you suffice, those that by obligation you have to provide for them. مَنْ تَجِبْ عَلَيْكَ نَفَقَتُهُ, those that their nafaqah is compulsory on you, these are the people you should start with. You want to give sadaqah, you want to spend at the end of the month, before you pay salaries. Check your home. Check your home. Ibda biman ta'ud. Start with your home. And in the riwayah of Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i, rahimahullah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wabda biman ta'ud. Start with those people whose spending and maintenance is an obligation upon you. And then he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ummaka, ummak, your mother, wa abak, your father, wa ukhtak, your sister, wa akhak, your brother, thumma adnaka adnak. Then as they are close to you, he started with our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, our brothers. Now someone can ask me, does it remove the woman? It does not remove our wives and our children. He is mentioning these ones separately because the mind can go off it. You are inside your house with your wife and your children. You will not forget that one. But you may forget your mother who is at home in the village. Who is at, you are in the city. You are in the big cities. You are in Maitama, Asokoro, London, Dubai, earning, running around, making ends meet. You are in Lagos. You are in Ibadan. You are in the big cities making big money. You can forget your mother or father who is in Emure, who is in Akure. I'm not saying that Akure is a village, but this is far away from city centers, the major city centers. You are in Abuja. Your daddy is in Kauran Namoda. Don't forget that one too. Don't forget your mother. Your wife is with you, so you won't forget. Your children are with you, so you won't forget. Your servants are with you, so you won't forget. But your mind may go off that old woman who toiled over you till you got to where you got to. Don't forget that person. Ummak, your mother. Wa abak, wa ukhtak, your sister. Wa akhak, your brother. Thumma adnaka, adnak. Then those who are nearer to you, and then those who are nearer to you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, khayru sadaqati ma baqa gina. The best of sadaqa is the one that leaves behind sufficiency. Wal yadul ulya khayru min al yadus sufla. Don't forget that the giving hand is better than the one that is begging. Wagda biman ta'ul. When you give the sadaqa, start with those that you, their obligatory maintenance is upon you. And don't forget your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, and those the rest of the relatives, that their nafaqat, their maintenance is upon you. Takulu imra'atuka. This statement, takulu imra'atuka, is the statement of Abu Huraira by way of explaining this hadith. Let us note it, and it is authentic. This statement of Abu Huraira, takulu imra'atuka, from takulu imra'atuka, it occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah in Da'ifu al-Adab al-Mufrad, he mentioned it is from the statement of Abu Huraira. In Irwa' al-Galil, he also mentioned it is from the statement of Abu Huraira, and he ascribed it to Sahih al-Bukhari, that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that Abu Huraira was asked regarding this expression we want to read now, and he told the people, huwa min kisi Abi Huraira. That is from the explanations of Abu Huraira. What is that? What is that that Abu Huraira added by way of explaining this hadith to us? He says, takulu imra'atuk. Your wife would say, if you don't spend on her, she would say, anfik alayya aw talliqni. Spend on me, maintain me or divorce me, let me go back to my father. Many women say this. So start with her. Don't let her tell you that. Don't let a woman tell you, hey, please, Abu, if you can't spend on me, just quietly allow me to go back home. Don't allow a woman say this to you. Be a hard-working, toiling man for his home, that his wife will not have to tell, hey, divorce me if you can't spend on me. Likewise, وَيَكُولُ مَمْلُوكُكَ. Your servants will say, anfik alayya aw bi'ni. Oh, my master, anfik alayya. Spend on me. Give me my rights. Where is my food? Where are my clothing? I will be any. If you can't provide me that, then sell me. Let me go to a superior who will find the opportunity to maintain me as is appropriate. وَيَكُولُ وَلَدُكُ. Don't be a man that's a man, that his children will come to him and said, Ilaman Takiluna, who are you leaving us to, oh Father? Father, spend on us. Who are you leaving us to? Don't be this man. So what that the man Ta'un, when you give sadaqah, start to those that depend on you, your dependents. If you don't start with them, your wife will come and tell you, divorce me if you cannot spend on me. Your children will be asking you, Abu, who are you leaving us to? And then your servants, your subordinates will say, Oga, can you please sack me and let me go and look for another job? That happens in companies where they delay salaries or don't even pay salaries regularly. Their staff soon begins to remind them about sack. A staff who should be scared of any word called sack will be the one saying that, Oga, I beg you, if you sack me, if you can't pay my salaries. So if da'di man ta'ul, start with those who depend upon the maintenance from you, like your wife, like your children, like your servants. The points of reference in these are our servants. It is obligatory for us to provide for them, as it is obligatory for us to provide for our wives and our children. It's an obligation, and of course an obligation for us to provide for ourselves. And all of these fall under the aspects of what as sadaqah that will be rewarded by Allah. But don't forget, these sadaqah will be rewarded if you have ihtisab for them. If you anticipate good rewards, that is when you'll be rewarded. If you don't anticipate good rewards, you may lose the rewards for all of these things completely. May Allah protect each and every one of us. The time is past. I think we can take out the rest. We can stop here and take the rest. A few questions that we might have from Abu Yusuf today. Bismillah, we'll continue in the class subsequently in the next coming week. May Allah protect us till then and thereafter. Abu Yusuf.
Amin. Jazakumullah khairan.
Amin, Abu Amir. Amin.
Abu Yusuf is unavoidably absent.
So. Okay, inshallah.
So, someone is asking, can one make a generalized anticipation of rewards with respect to feeding your family or yourself? Or must it be every money or food you provide for the family that you make the intention?
Both of them are lawful. You can make a generalized one, but the mind soon goes away from a generalized intention. The mind soon goes away from it. The mind goes away from it. That generalized thinking goes away from the mind. So a better thing to do is to keep it in mind. Keep it in mind each time you do it. Keep it in mind each time you do it. In a fresh hope and anticipation for the rewards from Allah. It makes that good deed better done. Keep it in mind. So it's fresh in your mind. It's fresh. Keep it in mind repeatedly is better than making it in a general intention. Oh Allah, each time I do this, your mind can go off it. The intention that you can observe one single rak'ah of salah before you finish Surah Al-Fatiha, intention has changed more than once. Is that the mind that we are living? The mind that shaitan has not left to rest. So if you make a generalized intention in the morning, before the afternoon, when they ask you for another money, your mind could have gone off it. Our minds are not so stable. The minds of human beings are not so stable. So don't rely on that one. Keep it something you do generally, and then it will regularly connect your mind to Allah and hope in Him. If you're a person, you want to give them money for breakfast, you hope in it, Bismillah, this breakfast, I have rewards. There's a regular connection and hope in Allah's reward from that servant who does that so regularly. Imagine that three times a day as you feed, or four, five, 10 times, no matter the number of times you feed your hope, your mind is connected to some kind of a hope for goodness from Allah. This is a very, very big act of worship of the mind. Your mind is regularly connected to Allah, hoping in His goodness, hoping in His good rewards. It's a very, very big act of worship regarding the mind. So don't leave it to your generalized intention, because that generalized intention cannot survive even 24 hours before it begins to change. Our intentions really, really change are not things that are so, so stable. Allah has not made our intentions things that we can keep and sustain for a long time. So reorganize, renew your intention. And the more you do that, the better for you, as we had explained. Allahu A'lam.
Jazakumullahu khair.
I mean, is that clear, Abu Amir?
Yes, very clear.
No.
And this one related to that same question is, now believing that spending on my family is obligatory, does that mean I still will get the reward for intending, even not directly intending sadaqah?
Yes. If you don't intend sadaqah, we had mentioned that you must intend sadaqah. You must intend sadaqah. Sadaqah does not necessarily mean that they are poor people. Your family, your wives, your children are poor. You hope sadaqah means sawab, jazil, huge rewards. You must be intending to receive huge rewards. So spending on the family brings huge rewards for you. Because the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, kullu ma'rufin sadaqah. Every good deed you do is sadaqah. So some of the people may think that, should I think that my family are now atarabara beggars? No, don't think it like that. Every good deed is sadaqah. Every good deed is sadaqah. When you observe salah, it's sadaqah. Sadaqah for yourself. When you feed yourself, it's sadaqah. Sadaqah for yourself. Meaning that a means of receiving huge rewards. I'm sure perhaps the person has some nufra for, okay, does that now mean that my wife and my children are people, beggars? No. It means that when you provide them food, you hope that you have done a good deed for which you hope to gain good rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the sadaqah that is intended. Not that the people you are giving are beggars, or that they become beggars and all of these. Hope, you must hope in the rewards, to gain the rewards. You hope in the rewards to gain the rewards. If you don't hope in the rewards, the only thing that will happen is that you may not be punished for not fulfilling it, because you are fulfilling it. If you are fulfilling it and you are not hoping in the rewards, you are not hoping that you are doing sadaqat, you are just doing it, you will not be punished for abandoning them, because there are two sides to it. If the individual abandons them, he is punished for it. Evil rewards are written down for him. So he may be punished by Allah subhanahu when he does not do it. Now, when he does it, he does not hope in the reward. He has moved away from the group of those who may be punished for it. It remains the second category, gaining the rewards for those good deeds. That will only come if he intends to have the rewards for it. I hope it is now clear. Two levels. The levels of spending on the household and hoping for rewards, this is the best level. You are not punished for abdicating that duty. Then you gain the rewards for doing it. The second level, he is just doing it, he does not have the rewards. He will not be punished for it, but he does not gain the reward for doing it. I hope that this will clarify that question, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Jazakumullah khair.
I mean,
what? Mr. Bahrain, what is the best time to observe Rak'at al-Fajr? Will I still get the reward for observing Rak'at al-Fajr?
Rak'at al-Fajr is observed as soon as the Fajr emerges. As soon as it is time for Salatul Fajr, let's use that expression. As soon as it is time for Salatul Fajr, that is the beginning of the time for Salatul Raqatay al-Fajr. And if a person misses it before Salatul Fajr, he can observe it after Salatul Fajr. If he misses it after Salatul Fajr, before Salatul Fajr, if he misses it and doesn't observe it before Salatul Fajr, he can observe it after Salatul Fajr. If he's a person who is regular with it at all times, but something happens, he now misses it, he can observe it any time of the day that he remembers. Any time of the day that he remembers. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to pay back a recommended salah whenever he remembers or whenever he was able to do it, if he was not able to do it at the time that was stipulated for it. I hope that that is clear to you.
Yes, jazakumullah. This one reads, in a family of more than one wife, is it compulsory for the wives to always cook together, even if the husband can afford otherwise? What of a situation where one wife does not like what another wife cooks? Is there room for each wife to have her own upkeep and cooking her meals if the husband has the means for that?
Well, these are home issues that largely will go under issues of mutual benefit and common agreement. They will come under the issues of mutual benefits and common agreement. I usually don't like us to start asking, is it compulsory? Is it compulsory? We are almost turning this deen to issues of compulsory and not compulsory. And the deen has much more than that. This deen is not all about, is it compulsory or not compulsory? What if it is not compulsory but beneficial? You don't like the benefit. And our own personal proclivities will make us say, no, I don't want the benefit. That is not a good way to live as a Muslim in a time when good deeds are difficult to observe. If you live in a time when good deeds are difficult to observe, there is no way to a good deed that you like to throw away. But we live like Muslims as if we are assured of Al-Jannah already. So we choose the good deeds that we want and we throw the rest away as if the governing rule are our own desires. The home should go back to themselves. The husband should go back to himself and see what is most beneficial to the generality of the house. That is what they should do. The husband should contact the wives, consult them, and take a good decision about what is most beneficial for the generality of the home. And then that is what the women should do. We should seek benefits in what we do. We should seek benefits in what we do, overriding benefits, and not be taken away by just, I want or I don't want. I want or I don't want. We should reduce this approach to our religion and this kind of an approach to our dealings with ourselves. So I think that the matter should go back to the home. The husband, the wife should sit down and look at what is of most pressing benefit to the generality of the home. I think we can stop there, inshallah, Abu Asif. Abu Amir, not Abu Asif. Maybe because I was talking about Asim ibn Bahdala to you. Maybe Allah will give you Asim ibn Bahdala.
Amen. Inshallah.
I think we can stop there, inshallah. Subhanakallah wa alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Amen.